stuck with me, buddy. I have a friend whose name is George. I've known him since high school. In fact, we were on the wrestling team together back at Knightstown. And he was ahead of me in class, and when he graduated, we lost touch. But we reconnected over the years as he was the manager at Clancy's in Newcastle, the car wash, for decades, 37 years I think it was. And so we would have all of a minute to talk as I waited in line for what, the double suds buster or whatever it was. But recently we've reconnected again in the last few months with my ministry at Ben's Bar for Taco Tuesday. And we've had lots and lots of time to talk. And I've come to learn some new things about George that I didn't realize. He is an avid fisherman. Avid fisherman. Now, how many people like to fish in this group here? Several. Well, when I say he loves to fish, I'm not saying he just likes to go out and fish. He loves to fish to the point where he enters and wins a lot of fishing tournaments around the area. Goes out of state, even. Bottom line is he's really, really good at fishing. Now, George has told me all kinds of stories about all the types of fish that he's caught. I'm not a fisherman, so the names don't really mean anything to me. The only type of fish I really know the name of starts with the word fried. But George has never told me a fish story like the one we're going to read about in the Gospel of Matthew today. So where we are is Matthew chapter 17, and we're going to take verses 22 to 27 altogether. But before Matthew starts writing about the fish, he tells us about Jesus predicting his death a second time. You know, it wasn't very many verses ago that Jesus, for the first time, told his disciples, I'm going to die. And he's going to say exactly what Matthew has recorded in his word. So let's read from verse 22 and 23. After they gathered again in Galilee, Jesus told them, the Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of his enemies. He will be killed. But on the third day, he will be raised from the dead. And then Matthew writes, and the disciples were filled with grief. Hearing this message about dying really bummed the disciples. They were filled with grief as if Jesus had already died. But then all of a sudden, Matthew switches gears in his writing, and he starts recording an actual event that happened, and it's regarding taxes and fishing. So now let's look at verses 24 to 27 together, and then we'll take them a verse or two at a time. On their arrival in Capernaum, the collectors of the temple tax came to Peter and asked him, doesn't your teacher pay the temple tax? Yes, he does, Peter replied. And then he went into the house. But before he had a chance to speak, Jesus asked him, what do you think, Peter? Do kings tax their own people or the people they have conquered? Look, they tax the people they have conquered, Peter replied. Well then, Jesus said, the citizens are free. However, this is a big however. However, we don't want to offend them. So go down to the lake, throw in a line, open the mouth of the first fish you catch, and you'll find a large silver coin. Take it and pay the tax for both of us. First, a little context to getting us to this point. We know Jesus has called his disciples, and they've been ministering all throughout Israel. But their base of operation is Capernaum. It's a city right on the Sea of Galilee. Anytime they go to Capernaum, all eyes are on them. Oftentimes people question them and try to trap them in some type of controversy. So let's go back to the verses and go one at a time, starting with verse 24. On their arrival at Capernaum, the collectors of the temple tax came to Peter and asked him, "Doesn't your teacher pay the temple tax?" You know, if you've been following the presidential campaigns, you've heard a lot about taxes already. There's talk of tax reductions or deductions, like first-time home buyers. There's also talk of not taxing Social Security income. Looking at the age of the group here, I thought I might hear us amen to that. I don't know. We'll not get into politics, will we? Well, I'm sure we'd all like to eliminate or reduce taxes of all kinds. And there are a lot of taxes. Federal, state, and county income taxes, FICA taxes, sales taxes, excise taxes, and property taxes, just to name a handful. But as I was looking at this, believe it or not, Mr. Ripley, there are 97 different taxes in the U.S. tax code. So if you think you're paying a lot of taxes, according to the tax code, it could be a whole lot worse. You'd be paying a whole lot more different types of taxes. Well, in Jesus' day, they apparently had a temple tax. You had to pay a tax to go to church, in essence. How many want to invoke that tax again? Yeah, a lot of shaking heads no and no amens. I agree. Well, in today's scriptures that we've just read all the way through, and now we're going through them a little bit more at a time, there's three things to remember. And it's going to be fairly easy for you to remember after we repeat it. They all start with M, so that should help. They all start with the letter M. So here's the three things that you're going to remember from today's message and take home and think about. First of all, remember the master. Remember the master. Secondly, remember the mission. And then the third thing is we're going to remember the miracle. Remember the miracle. So let's start with the first one. Remember the master. The first point that comes out of this story is that the master we serve is the king. Our God is master of all the universe. And we must remember that in our hearts and in our minds. The Bible paints a very clear picture that we should honor those in authority, even when we don't agree with them. For instance, the Bible tells us we should honor our parents. Too bad some of the kids aren't in here, so they could be with parents and grandparents and hear that one. We should honor our bosses, some of us that are still working or have other bosses at home. We should honor our elected officials. Why? Because the one who is in the ultimate authority, God, has commanded us to do so. In fact, we don't ever want to forget who is in charge around here. He is the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the Alpha and Omega. We belong to the King. We belong to Jesus. And he is master of all. Now, the exchange between Jesus and Peter in verses 25 and 26, it makes it very clear that we are children of the King. And children of the King, according to Scripture, shouldn't have to pay for the King's home, which is what the temple tax was for. So let's look again at those verses 25 and 26. And we're getting to the later part of 25. Jesus asked him, "What do you think, Peter? Do kings tax their own people or the people they have conquered?" "They tax the people they've conquered," Peter replied. And, "Well then," Jesus said, "the citizens are free." The citizens are free. The children of the King are free from paying taxes. So we don't owe anyone anything because we are children of the Master. That's the best tax exemption there is. But don't go and write something on your tax form next April and say, "Pastor Bob said," according to Matthew. So here's the first point to remember. Remember the master. Here's the second. Remember the mission. Remember the mission. Even though we only owe our allegiance to the master, our king, he has given us a mission. Among other things, and there's a lot of things that we could focus on the mission that God has given us, that Jesus has given us. I'm going to focus in one area particularly. God has told us repeatedly through his word not to cause trouble and stir up rebellion just for the sake of causing problems. I think all Christians need to hear that. In fact, Romans 13:1 says this. Everyone, as far as in my dictionary, everyone means everyone, must submit to governing authorities. For all authority comes from God. And those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. So, we must remember the mission. And while there's a lot of things in this world that are important, nothing is more important for the child of the master than the mission of the master. Jesus wanted Peter to know that they shouldn't be caught up in whether or not they should pay the temple tax. In fact, Jesus said in verse 27, we don't want to offend them. We don't want to offend them. It's important that we get this. You see, Jesus was not afraid of offending others. However, he didn't want to seek out offense just for the sake of that. He didn't want to offend just for the sake of offense. Jesus didn't want to offend people if it would detract from the mission. Now, there will be other times for Jesus and his followers when the mission actually caused offense. It will offend to tell people they are sinners. Still does. It will offend to say that Jesus is the only way to God. And it still does. And it will offend to say that the Bible is powerful, true, and without any error. Still offends. But we are to remember the mission. In fact, the mission of God must be more important than politics, our preferences, our personalities, our professions, our protests, or even our pleasure. Now, this may not apply to everyone, but sometimes we are so distracted by making sure that everyone knows we are right and the world is wrong that we actually miss the opportunity to have a real impact on changing the world. Sometimes we have to be so focused on proving that the world is wrong that we miss the impact we can have for God. What should we be doing? We should be making sure people feel the love of God and the truth of God. And sometimes that will still offend. Don't give them just the love of God, though. Give them the truth. Don't give them just the truth of God. Make sure you give them the love of God as well. In other words, give them Jesus. Well, so far we've learned two things. Remember the master. And second, remember the mission. Yeah. Now, this story recorded by the Apostle Matthew is an absolute miracle. And it's a little weird at the same time, too, isn't it? I mean, let me tell you one more thing about my friend George. He has caught thousands, maybe upon thousands, of fish in his lifetime. But he's never caught a fish with a coin in its mouth. And for sure, he's never had someone tell him ahead of time, the first fish that you catch will have a coin in its mouth. And yet, that's exactly what happened to Peter. We need to be reminded that Jesus, King Jesus, is sovereign over everything in the universe. Jesus, in fact, created the whole world with his spoken word. Jesus raises people from the dead. Jesus saves sinners. Jesus gives sight to the blind. And Jesus softens hardened hearts. And guess what? According to today's scripture, Jesus can cause a fish to have a coin in its mouth and then guide Peter's fishing line so that only that fish takes the bait. Catch this. Pun intended. Jesus was a miracle worker. And he's still a miracle worker. We must remember the miracles. God knows everything you need, including the miracles you need. And he wants you to remember that he is master and king. He wants you to remember his mission. And he wants you to remember that he is miraculous. So, I'm finishing up today's message with three questions for us all to answer. First of all, you got to start with this one. Here's the first question. Is Jesus your master? Is Jesus your master? For those of you who have been saved or born again, I can tell you the answer is yes. And for those who have answered no, well, Jesus can be your master before you leave today. Right where you're sitting, you can do what I'm going to suggest here in a second. And you can leave here as Jesus is your master. Maybe it's on the way home and you're driving, you're thinking, that verse said this or that. And the Holy Spirit's speaking to you. And while you're driving or riding in the car, Jesus can be your master if he calls you there. It may not be till you get home. You're watching the Colts game, and all of a sudden you don't even know what the score is because the Holy Spirit's asking you to accept him, the Savior, Jesus, as your master. Here's what you do. Admit to him that you have sinned. And we have all sinned according to the Bible. In fact, Jesus knows all of our sins, even the ones I have forgotten. So just admit you have sinned. And then here's the key. By faith, believe in Jesus. By faith. You're not going to get proof. There's not going to be a concrete way to know this, but by faith, believe in Jesus. And then do that with a genuine heart, and Jesus is your master too. So that's the first question. Is Jesus your master? Here's the second question for us to wrestle with, either right now or on the way home or this week. Do you know your mission from God? Do you know your mission from God? Now, the mission from God can be all kinds of things. Your mission may be to be a mother, a father, a grandparent. Your mission may be to live in the neighborhood you are and be a witness for Christ. Your mission may be to play an instrument or to cook great food as a ministry to friends and family. I don't know what your mission is, but I want to ask that question because I think it's appropriate now. Do you know your mission from God? Well, if the answer is yes, and you already know what you're doing, Larry and Sheila, maybe it's even in the midst of still dealing with cancer 12 years later that you get up and sing for the Lord. If you know what your mission is, keep doing it until you take your last breath. That's the first thing. If the answer is no, you don't know what your mission is, well, it's probably not going to come to you on the way home on a billboard with your name and mission on it. So how are we going to figure out what it is? Three things. Number one, open your Bible. Open your Bible and let God speak to you through his word. open your mind and let God speak to you through your thoughts. Open your heart and let God speak to you through the Holy Spirit. You'll find your mission. Well, here's the third and final question. And I believe we all could get excited about this one. Do you need a miracle? We're supposed to remember the Master, remember the mission, and remember the miracle. Do you need a miracle in your life? Or do you need a miracle for someone else's life? I've already got a miracle that I'm asking God for, and that's to heal our granddaughter of this potential fracture. And I've got others besides that. The Bible says that when we need something, even a miracle, we're to do three things. We're to ask and keep on asking. We're to seek and keep on seeking. We're to knock and keep on knocking. The way it's written in the Greek, which is the language of the New Testament, the written language, it doesn't say just to ask and just to seek and just to knock. It says to keep doing those things. So it doesn't bother God when you've asked for the 100th time for the same thing, because he says to do it. So if you need a miracle, start doing those three things. And those are action words. And they're action words that don't get just done once. They get done continually. So ask God for your miracle. And then be sure to include this. Ask God for the miracle to be done in your life according to his will. According to his will. That means according to his timeline and according to his way of working out that miracle. And more than likely, this is the hardest part, more than likely means being patient while we wait for his will to be done. So here's how I want to conclude this morning. I just want you to get in an attitude of prayer. For just a minute, I want us to think about the answers to these questions. And you don't need to tell me the answer. You need to tell God the answer. He's the one asking the question. And he's the one that can help. So as you are in a spirit of prayer, just right now, and then I'll conclude with a closing prayer. In your spirit, answer the question, is Jesus your master? Do you know your mission? And do you need a miracle? Heavenly Father, my prayer is that everyone would answer yes to the first question, that you're the master of all of us who are here. But if that's not the case, continue to knock on the heart's door of that person who's yet to accept you as their Savior, and let them come to you. Sins forgiven, life changed, future home in heaven, and the Holy Spirit to be in them for the rest of their life. Lord, I hope we all know our mission. And it may not be something that's out in front. It may be something that's behind the scenes. It may not even be something that people see. It's just you know what we're to do. Maybe someone's mission is just to pray for others. No one knows, but between you and them, that they're praying for people all over the world, people right in this congregation, requests that came up today for the first time. And Father, I would guess we all need a miracle of some type. And some, it's a physical miracle to be healed of something. And some, it's a emotional or mental miracle that we just can't overcome. Some, it's a financial miracle. And some, it's the relationship needs restored. And of course, sometimes the miracle we need is spiritual. But we know you can do all these things. And for that, we'll give you thanks. And we'll ask this in closing. Lord, send us out to be blessed and to be a blessing. Amen. Are you going somewhere? I know. Oh. go. Brittany, well, listen to this.
And his dad is the same way.
Well, yeah, I did. He told me that.
Yeah, so he's we went to the doctor and he got a little see, they took his license to the line. And he was going to pass out.
Yeah.
Steve and our son were in the same grade. Well, Jesse, I can't remember if Jesse was in the same grade as him or he was a different grade. So we knew Jesse and Steve really well. Through school, Jan was even a teacher's aide.
So now you're in a database.
So she actually watched Steve and Jesse grow up through school. And then in junior high and high school, our son and Steve and Jesse, they all did, and another friend theirs, they all did cross country together. And our really good friend, John Hamilton, was the one that, do you know the name John Hamilton?
I've met him.
Oh my.
Yeah, I saw him about a month or two ago down Stevens.
He pretty much took the boys under his wings. Yeah, so. And then actually, I got a text from Steve this morning. He said, because he's come to the Kenner Church before. And he said his car didn't start. And so he wasn't able to come to church today. So I don't know what's going on there. He texted right before church starts, so I haven't been able to contact him. Okay, well, that's amazing that Kenner.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
And of course, your wife would know Jackie Harris and Helen Doolin.
Jan was a teacher's aide for both those ladies when she worked at Kenner. In fact, she gets together with them monthly now. All those teachers and principals and custodians, bus drivers, the ones that can, they meet once a month for a lunch.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so we still keep in contact.
Mr. Carmody.
Oh, yes, Larry. Boy, all these names that you know.
Jackie Manford, Gene Helen, and some others. We all, with my first husband, we all played euchre for several years. And Carrie and Tony played, and Joe and Jeannie Irwin, Vern and Joanne. Price.
Yes. Yeah, wow.
And Rosie and her late husband, Jim. Well, Rosie Irwin, Jim.
We know a lot of the same people.
Yeah.
I've been to that car wash, and I remember that man.
Yeah, George Gregson is his name.
Yeah, Gregson, yes.
Yeah, we go way back to the 70s.
Isn't that neat?
Yeah, but he's been retired from that, for a couple years now, I think. Hmm. And then he's been able to devote his time to fishing and golfing.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, what? I don't know if you know. I don't know if you know where Ben's Bar is in Shirley.
We ate there once.
Okay, well, about 6.5 years ago, I started going there on Tuesdays. When I was working a secular job, I'd go after work and stay a couple hours and just to visit with people.
That's nice.
I didn't carry a Bible and thump people over the head and condemn and point.
Yeah.
And all that, but I just wanted to go. I didn't think. God said, you need to go where the people are.
That's true.
Because the people aren't coming to where you are.
Right.
Okay, uh-huh. Yeah. So that's what started the whole ministry. Well, that's just, now it's been a few hundred people I've met over all those years.
Oh, isn't that neat?
Most recently, George been coming to the bar in the afternoon, and so he comes with a friend after golfing.
Uh-huh.
And we get to visit for quite a while.
That is so nice.
This is great.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
It's almost, not almost, it is another congregation for me.
Yeah.
And really? I get to spend time with them every week, every Tuesday.
Wow.
Yeah. I get to know them and about their family and about their needs. And ministry has come out of that. And that there's been people who have come to the church, either here or the Kenner friends, because of connecting. But that wasn't my purpose. It was more just to connect them to Christ anyway. Mm-hmm. And then people have asked me to do counseling, funerals, prayer requests. I mean, just a variety of things.
It's wonderful.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
You were Jackie Harris's aide.
Yes, yeah.
She and I grew up together.
Oh, did you?
Just down the block. And we used to play cards with her, Manford, and Gene Helen, Joe G, Irwin, her and Joanne Price.
Yeah, we were, Carrie and Toby. We were both widowed.
Yeah. And, well, as a matter of fact,
years before she got married the first time,
I just saw Jackie.
Okay.
Well, it was last week. I'd gone up to see Dad, and I stopped at the Cracker Barrel, and they were made for Jackie. Were there with their last name was Good. It was John and Frieda Good.
I saw that.
Oh, okay, I don't know.
Back 8 years ago.
Yeah, I knew John and Frieda, but I didn't. I didn't know the daughter, but they were up in Florida.
West Palm Beach area.
Which I guess would be
the East Coast.
Manford's cousin.
That's all Eastern
Frida's
Frida's
Manford's sister.
So it was his cousin.
Here we go to Fort Myers.
Yes,
right. Have lunch with him. And then, of course, Manford, my mom, or my dad, and Manford worked together for years at
Kelly Reed. We lived in all of our life. And the nice area.
That's small.
It is.
It's so neat and fun to hear those stories.
Yeah.
You gotta go where he sends you.
Many years ago.
Well,
mom and dad were gone.
Now, did you say your last name?
Sanders. To visit her sister and husband.
And
they were driving back to Indiana besides stopping at Bob Evans. But who came out? A couple they knew from Middletown. I went to school with.
I didn't realize that. Okay.
The first time was Sanders.
I was talking to a lady the other day, and she was talking about
Actually, people had married a cousin.
Her best friend lived in Katz.
Her first husband.
She told me you were right, and I said, Margaret
had him out of wedlock.
She
married into a Sanders.
We call her Margaret.
So this her husband became a Sanders, but not blood.
I see.
She's married.
You know, that does happen once in a while. If you get married somebody,
I was acquainted with Margaret and Charlie. And she and I helped take care of her
Reverend's
mother.
Okay.
Well, I got married.
You know how it is. Everybody is.
I grew up in Middletown.
Church
and he graduated from Middletown.
Four or five people left. It's just
Nobody came. Mom was a Williams.
I miss the fellowship.
I've heard of the Star.
I need Christian fellowship.
Absolutely.
You don't get it.
That's
four or
five
people.
We've been going to Mom and Dad's house since Mom passed in January.
Blind my right eye and
assisted living now.
Tunnel vision left eye. So I have to look when a person sees me.
So you can't drive?
No, I don't drive. So she's going to drive. I can drive.
Yes.
It's just been going to big history.
You folks like
this? It's not easy.
We get them at the airport.
All righty.
Thank you.
Well, again, if you're not doing anything this afternoon, I don't know if you know where the Kinder Friends Church is.
Oh, we've never been
there. We go to the hall.
Yeah, you talk about churches getting so small and such. Catty Corner from where the Friends Church is a Christian church.
Yeah.
And they closed down 10 years ago because they'd gotten down to just a handful of people. And they ran out of people and ran out of money.
Yeah.
And here's this building that's been there for years in Kinner that ministered to all these hundreds of people over the decades. Mm-hmm. And then it closed. I mean,
we never know. This is going to happen.
Yeah,
a lot of churches I'll have struggling too in the smaller churches.
I hear both churches are closing by the hundreds a year.
Mm-hmm. So. Well, church used to be the center of the fellowship of the community, but now it's a people that's got other things to do.
Mothers work on the weekend, they have to, can't bring kids.
Well, and so many of the, not school sports, but their kids get into extra sports, which are all on Sunday.
Yes.
These traveling teams and all of this stuff.
If we get the young people coming, the church will die out.
Weekends were family time.
Oh, yeah. Well, I remember. Grandma's.
Yes.
I sent a school for little ones here.
Yes.
After we all go to church. That doesn't happen anymore.
Well, we live just 2 miles north here.
Yeah.
Okay.
It is.
Straight north. Due north.
What road do you turn on to go north?
Where
the fire department building is?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, that's there's a couple that live back there, Willie and Lillian.
Low.
Low. They live on that road too.
Oh.
You know, as you're heading out of Caddis, there's a few homes, like brick homes, ranch homes, kind of right in the road on your right side. They live in one of those.
Oh,
it's the one with the circular, the moon, half moon drive.
Oh, okay.
And they put the back row back there. He was talking about, he was the one that was talking about that long prayer for the ransom that had fallen down the steps.
Oh, I see.
So they're probably not more than a mile or less from
the house.
So if you keep going north on that road, it comes to a T.
Yeah, and then we turn right and go.
You don't go that far.
No, I'm saying.
Don't go to the T.
Where we live.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Yeah, go north and to the T, turn right and back left again.
Okay, I don't think I've ever jogged that way.
And it's the next road.
Okay, well that is pretty close.
Pretty close.
And where you were going before, or where you're at now?
Due north, 2 miles north of that.
Okay.
Union Christian Church.
White Union, okay.
Right on the highway. It used to be bustling, like all churches would just be back.
Oh, sure, yeah.
People passed or moved. People are nice there, but we miss fellowship.
That's what Margaret was saying.
And when we came in, of course, we knew that it's Sheila from Long Island. Because she graduated with my brother.
Okay.
And he knew Gerald Cole. And people, she introduces people, they may feel welcome. You know Roseanne from Long Island?
Yeah.
I'd write right back in Plaza High School. Bruce Blues played Caddis in basketball.
And what high school did you go to?
Middletown.
Middletown, okay.
Mm-hmm. Middletown used to play Caddis and basketball, so we were kind of rivals in that way.
Well, nice to meet you folks.
It's
yes, it is.
He's talking about the ring, and he says he goes down.
Okay, yes.
I'm sure we'll see you again.
Well, I hope so.
You folks take care.
Yeah.
I told her, she knows Jackie and Helen.
Oh, yeah.
I said, we're probably all related. Don't even
know.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, Ron, according to your great grandson, it's over. I don't know if you heard him saying that.
Yeah.
Yeah, when we were done and amen and all that. All done. All done.
He's full of it.
Yeah.